I on now? Am I on now? Yeah, I should be. Yeah, that's it. See, it's a community morning. Why don't you just turn to someone and give them a community hug? Go to it. Or a high five. Okay. I really do commend Dr. Phil. Isn't that great, Dr. Phil? But his surname is Halstead. Have you met him? Has anybody here heard him, met him? Yeah, okay. Did you like what you saw and heard? He's a nice guy, eh? And he's coming to do the next three Sunday nights. And tonight he actually wants to share on his own story of forgiveness. And you know, sometimes, I mean, he has actually got a PhD in forgiveness. do you know what PhD stands for, actually? Permanent head damage. I know, I've submitted a PhD, so it does your head in. But actually, forgiveness is complex. You know, it is a complex arena. And so he's done some very good, clear, deep heart and mind thinking and reflection on this. So he's going to be with us the next three Sunday nights, and I'd love it if you could come out and support that. So the first one. He's going to share, as I said, on his personal story tonight of forgiveness. Yeah. Young guy. Yeah, Phil. Okay, we're doing Acts. We're doing Acts. So if you could come with me to Acts chapter 9. We have a women's camp currently on to this weekend. And so a goodly number away. My wife, Ruby, she's down in Christchurch seeing her mum. And who's been sick in the last sort of 2 to 3 weeks? Yeah, heaps of people have gone down with illness as well. So there have been great days recently. If you come with me to Acts chapter 9, I really love it actually, that over the next 3 weeks in the morning, there are just all these little stories about little people. And it seems as though when God wants to do big things, he chooses little people. Is that an encouragement? Because sometimes we think it's, oh, if God wants to do something big, he picks the big boys and girls, you know? But actually, if he wants to do something big, he often picks little people. And we have this over the next 3 weeks, and that's what I want to touch on. But the first story is about Ananias, and we pick it up on Acts chapter 9. Now, I don't want to read the first part, because I want to get onto that next Sunday morning. But I want to pick up the story in verse 10. Okay, in verse 10. By the way, in the future, what I'd like to do is I'm going to submit a budget item of buying 100 Bibles. And I'd like to have 100 Bibles on to, for us to grab as we come in. So that means I can just say, turn to page 362. And we're all reading off the same text. And then you don't take those Bibles home with you. You just leave them at the doorway. So I have a little dream on that one. It may not come off, but it might do. Do you think it's a good idea? Like good Baptists, there's always 50-50 opinion on that one. Okay. Here we go. Chapter 9, verse 10, and it says this. Now, in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas in Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles, not the Gentiles. I couldn't resist that one. Sorry, Dave, sorry. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. And then Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And at once Saul began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, so that's our text this morning. If we could pray, that would be awesome. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to this big story with small people. And we ask that there'd be something in this story where we could locate ourselves. Help this story to impact our story, that we might impact the stories of others. And only you can weave this. Only you can build and bring all of these strands together and make something beautiful. So we look to you. We look to you this morning. It's been great to worship you this morning, Lord. Now we want to listen. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit might be wanting to say in your good name. And we all said, amen. Ah, it's so good to see you guys here. It's really good. How many here like to read historical novels? Show of hands. Historical novels. Okay. How many here have read a James Michener historical novel? Show of hands. I mean, he did a number of books. They're about this thick. They're tomish. They are novels, but they're based on historical event. How many here have read the recent set by Edward Rutherford? Again, historical novels. You know, he's written a novel on London, on Paris. No? No. How many here have read comics recently? Oh, don't put your hand up. Okay. Actually, that's a genre in itself, actually. It's quite interesting. But there's another recent guy who's into writing historical novels. His name is Ken Follett. Anyone? Ken, oh, there's a few hands here. Chris, you put your hand up for every single. Yes. Okay. Ken Follett has written this trilogy. On the second, and that's, there he is there, and that's the first of three. And they're about the Second World War. And the interesting thing with Ken Follett in his books about the Second World War, the novels, is that in his novels, the main characters in the Second World War are not featured. Who are the main characters? Churchill, who else? Hitler and one other. And Stalin. Those three are not featured. Rather, in his novels, a maid is featured, a unionist is featured, a minor MP is featured, and a school teacher is featured. And in his novels, there is a big story, but it's the little people that actually are the main actors. Are you with me? Okay. Here's my second question this morning. How many people here have been to a live symphony orchestra? Show of hands. Whoa, more on this one than the novels. Okay. When it came to the end of the live symphony orchestra, you know what happens, eh? Everybody, they do what? They start to clap. In fact, they stand and they clap. Now, prior to my first symphony orchestra in going, I used to see this on TV. And so if the piece was Beethoven, Elgar, or Tchaikovsky, and I have all of those on my iPad, by the way, and others, and you know, you see this on TV, and it's the end of the piece, and then everybody stands and claps. And if you're just watching it, you're going to go, what are they doing? They don't need to do that. But actually, if you go to a live symphony orchestra, as I did at the first time I did it, I just found myself spontaneously getting to my feet. And I just started to clap and clap and clap and clap. Yes? Anybody else? Okay. Now, I want you to watch this piece about a particular player in a orchestra. Now, there are about 80 to 90 musicians in a live orchestra, on max, about 80 to 90. Here is one of them. So could we have that, Neville? There should be a... It is a community morning this morning, so... Malcolm, do you need to help here so that... Yeah, I want that, the video clip. Yeah. Malcolm, could you go and... you know where they are. Thank you, brother. It is a community morning, as I say, friends. Have we got it? Tell the person next to you. There we go. Have we got that? Watch this, guys. And you might like to stay there, Malcolm. That's it. Oh no, it does go on a bit longer, but we'll leave it there. Thanks. Do you think that looks hard? Can we have the lights up again? Yeah. Do you think that looks hard with the cymbals? Here's a story, true story. There was a live orchestra, and there was a cymbal player. This is true. And everybody, you know, the cello, the violin, and so forth and so on, they were being played. But the guy on the cymbals, he looked absolutely bored. Okay? This has actually happened. He looked absolutely bored. And then halfway through the piece in the symphony orchestra, he was so bored that he decided to walk out. So everyone continued to play, but this guy, he walked out of the building. Okay, and after about 5 or 10 minutes, he came back inside the building, and he still looked absolutely, utterly bored. And then the musical piece was reaching its climax. It was getting higher and higher, and it's more exciting and more exciting, and people were starting to sit on the edges of their seats, and then it reached the crescendo, the absolute, you know, right up there, and finally his moment came. And all it was one clash of the cymbal. And then the whole piece was over. And everybody in the orchestra building rose to their feet and started to spontaneously clap. And as they were clapping, you know, the chief conductor, he came to the front. The clapping died down. And the chief conductor, he pointed to the chief violinist. He pointed to the lead one over here and the percussion instruments and the string instruments and the wind instruments and so on. And then the conductor pointed to the person who did the one thing only with the cymbals. And everybody started to laugh, but they also clapped. I mean, this guy, he had his moment. I reckon as he was going home that night, he would have felt like the king. Do you reckon? I mean, he had his moment. Okay. What have these two stories got to do with my message this morning? First, about the historical novels. Secondly, about the symphony orchestra. And now we come to the story of Ananias. So all of this will be joined together as we go on. Stick with me. Ananias has a vision. By the way, visions occur in the daytime, and God-sent dreams occur in the nighttime. That's a general rule of thumb. Ananias has a vision about Saul having a vision about Ananias. Is that confusing? Stick with me. So Ananias has a vision, and in the vision, he is being told to go and pray for Saul. Okay? To go and pray for Saul. And you see, Ananias, his initial reaction to this vision is, I don't want to do it. No way. I mean, do you find it easy to go and pray for someone? Turn to your neighbor now and pray for them. No, no, no. Please don't do that. But the point is, in itself, praying for someone is not easy. So Ananias, he's being told to go and pray for someone, and he doesn't really want to do it. But the main reason why he doesn't want to do it is because of who he believes Saul is. Now listen, Saul is a hardliner. This is what Ananias knew. Saul was a hardliner. He was fanatical. He was an ultra-nationalist. He was a super-orthodox, pharisaical Jew. I want you to think Taliban. I mean, Saul, for Ananias, was one scary son of Israel. And I reckon, you know, as far as Ananias was concerned, no way did he want to go. But God says to Ananias, go and pray for this guy. So Ananias gets in his Hilux. And he finds, isn't that a great name of a street? Straight. Anyway, he finds Straight Street. And he pulls up and he races inside, well, not races, but he walks inside somewhat hesitantly, gets all physical, places his hands on Saul, and begins to pray for Saul. And Saul experiences something. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, Saul experiences the healing, gracious, loving touch of God in his life. Saul is a changed person. And then what happens? Well, Saul is strengthened. Then what happens? Saul is baptized. Then what happens? Saul, as we read, he starts to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. And when I read this text in preparation for you, dear people, I started to ask myself, what the heck happened to Ananias? And I read on, and I read on, and we don't hear about Ananias again. Finito completo. That's it. And you know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, this is often like it for many of us. You see, this was Ananias' moment. This was his moment. You know, Scripture is telling us, friends, that for Ananias, this was his moment. And he didn't get it wrong. And that's my main point this morning. There come moments in our lives. They just happen. They come toward us. And when those moments arrive, they're the kind of moments that we mustn't get wrong. And you see, Ananias, he didn't get this moment wrong. I mean, when you look at Ken Follett's novels, they're all about ordinary people who had moments in their lives, and they didn't get the moments wrong. And when you look at that orchestra piece, there was the guy in the orchestra, he had one moment and one moment only, and it was the clashing of the cymbals. That was his only moment, and he didn't get it wrong. And here in Ananias, he had but one moment, and we don't hear about him again, and he got it right. And look what happened as a result. Saul became Paul, and Paul became the Apostle Paul. And this Apostle Paul, he preached through the Mediterranean world, and the Mediterranean world changed as a result. And today, believe it or not, but tens of millions of people around the world are still reading the Apostle Paul, and their lives are being radically changed. Paul's writings are changing, turning people's lives around even to this day. And so everybody now, they remember the Apostle Paul. But no one remembers who? Ananias. And yet, without Ananias, arguably, it would never have happened. He had a moment. He stepped forward. He grabbed it, and he got it right. And look what happened. It's absolutely brilliant. Now, could I have the photo, next photo, of this guy? Who's this? Who's this? That's Billy Graham. That's the face. How many here have heard of Billy Graham? Yeah, most people in this room. Okay. Could I have the next photo? Who are those two guys on the truck? Now, you can't tell, eh? I mean, you just can't see their faces. I want to tell you a story about these two guys on the track. True story. One of them is Billy Graham, believe it or not, when he was a young guy. And the other guy on the track was a guy by the name of Albert McMakin. How many here in this room have heard of Albert McMakin? Hands up. There's about three or four people. Now, Albert McMakin, he was a farmhand. He was a labourer out in the fields. And then one day, Albert, he had a life-transforming experience with Jesus Christ. Jesus turned his life around. And that's what Jesus does, by the way. Absolutely amazing. Turns people around from the inside out. Phenomenal. So this guy's life is absolutely spun around. Albert McMakin. And it's so spun around that he just wants to tell everybody in his town about this amazing Jesus Christ. And this one guy, he has his heart especially to tell. And of course, you know who it is. Billy. But Billy, he loves the ladies. He loves the ladies in the town. And Billy, all he's concerned about is they're having a good relationship with the next girl. And Billy Graham, as a young boy, is in and out of relationships with the girls in the town. His whole life is about romance. And so Albert McMakin, he thinks, how can I get Billy to come to the next church meeting? And then finally the moment arrives. So he walks up to Billy and he says to Billy, Billy, I need you to drive the truck to a church meeting. I've got so many people coming. I've got to look after them all on the back tray. I need you to drive the truck. Will you drive the truck? And Billy says yes. And so Billy Graham drives the truck, and at that point, in the moment, Albert McMakin says again, come on, Billy, come on inside. And so Billy wanders in, and he sees something and hears something that went to the deepest part of his core. He heard about this Jesus Christ. And it just shook him. It rattled his cage. And he thought, I want that. And I'm willing to lose whatever to get it. And so there was an altar call. And so Billy was one of the first to go up
And here's the thing. Everybody remembers Billy Graham. But who the heck knows about Albert McMakin? Are you with me? I think the point I'm trying to make this morning is this, is that there come those moments, people, in our lives that are for other people. You see, when you think of that story about Ananias, his moment was for Saul. And in this story here, his moment, Albert McMakin's moment, was for who? It was for Billy Graham. And look what happened as a result of Billy Graham. Arguably the one person who has preached to more people on this planet than anybody else. Phenomenal. But who was the pivotal, the vital? It was little Albert McMakin. A big story resulted, but a little person was a key player. And so what I'm trying to say, you know, is that moments come, they come towards us, they happen, and they're moments where you can have a crucial part in the life of another. And it may be someone in your family, and it may be someone in our neighborhood, and it may be someone, a complete stranger on the street. It could be someone in mainly music on Friday mornings. It could be with fuel on Wednesday nights. It could be with tribal on Friday nights. It could be with Wonder Mums. It could be with, are you getting my point? Where a moment arrives, a moment for someone else, but you are the key player, the little player. It could be someone at work. You know, when I was preparing this talk on through last week, I chanced upon a story. I'm nearly done. I chanced upon a story about a workplace. True story. You get this. You see, there was a guy by the name of Steve. And when Steve was at school, he just creamed all the exams. He was a bright boy, topped the class. And when he left school, got entry into Yale University, one of the most prestigious universities in the United States. And he studied literature. He wanted to become a writer. And again, flew through the exams. Everybody thought, this guy, he's going to be a star. He left university, and it didn't happen for Steve. He began to float. He began to drift. Do you know where he eventually ended up? As a proofreader of chemistry manuals. So hardly the novelist. A proofreader of chemistry. Now, I don't want to undermine that job, by the way, just in case someone here does that. But this was not his dream. He wanted to be a novelist. And he ended up being a proofreader. And he had a cubicle in his workplace. The nearest window to his cubicle was a quarter of a mile away. That's where he ended up. Now, there was another guy in the workplace. His name was Ed. And Ed was a graphic designer. Great job. Is that right, Will? Dave? Yes, that's right. He was a graphic designer. And Ed, he was a Christ follower. He was a Christian. He was born again. This is America. So he was a born again Christian. Hallelujah. So, and he was married and he had kids. And Ed started to befriend Steve. You know, he just started to befriend. And then something happened in Steve's life. Okay? Steve had an uncle. And his uncle had a stroke. And he was reduced to a coma. And so Steve was really shaken up by this. And so he told Ed. And Ed said, look, I'm a Christian, and I'll just get some of our people in our church. We'll put it out on the prayer chain, as we have in this church, and we'll start praying for your uncle. So that's what began to transpire. This is all in the context of the workplace. Sometime later, Ed believed that a certain moment arrived. A moment. And the moment was this. He felt he had to draw Stephen a bit more. So one day they were talking about the uncle, and Ed said to Steve, "Look, it must be pretty rough about your uncle. Look, how about we really pray for your uncle? But this time, you, Steve, you pray with us. In fact, you pray with me here and now for your uncle." Thank you. That was good. Did we all hear that? It's one of those mornings. And so Steve, he was so initially taken back by the incredible love that he said yes. He said, "Yeah, I'd like to pray with you, Ed, for my uncle." So they prayed then and there in this cubicle. It was a quarter of a mile away from the nearest window for the uncle. As they prayed, believe it or not, as they prayed, something shifted in Steve's life. Just shifted. And today, Steve is this Christian author, well known throughout the United States. Well known in his circles. One book that he wrote, and I've read it, was a New York bestseller for a number of months. I mean, he's a well-known writer today. And of course, today, everybody remembers Steve. But no one remembers or knows about Ed. But what I want to finish with is this. In heaven, Ed is a legend. And in heaven, Ananias is a legend. And in heaven, Albert McMakin is a legend. Why? Because the moment came for their lives, a defining moment, and they didn't get it wrong. Is this good? Can I have a big amen on this one? They didn't get it wrong. Now, I've really got to finish now. I love The Hobbit, and I love Lord of the Rings. Any other fans? So I'm into historical novels, I'm into classical music, and I love LOR, Lord of the Rings. Three loves, and I like Ruby. So, goes like this. When it comes to The Hobbit, did you see it? And you see, it takes us right back to the beginning of the beginning. And there's kind of the Baggins. You know the little ones? And there's Bilbo that we don't really see featured, but we do see featured Bilbo. And then later in Lord of the Rings, Frodo. Yes? These are the little ones. And I want us to watch a clip. So we're going to get that rocking soon. I want us to watch this clip. But before we hit the play button, isn't it great how I send out these little signals to the people at the back? All in the context of a story. Before we watch this, it goes like this. You see, Gandalf the Grey, he comes to the Shire, which is a little place near the town of Hobbiton. There's a little town near, a place near the town of Hobbiton. And Gandalf the Grey, with how many dwarfs? I think it's about 13. They gate crash the house of Bilbo. Gate crash the house. And the reason why they gate crash the house is they're trying to enlist Bilbo on the great quest to go to Erebor. And you see, this is a dangerous quest. This frightens Bilbo, as Ananias was frightened. As we all are, actually, when we embrace a moment that we know is a defining moment. There's a scary element to it. And so initially, Bilbo, he's reticent. And then he wakes up one morning and they've all gone. And he's scared that he's missed his moment. And we pick up the clip. I hope.
I signed it.
Everything appears to be in order. Welcome, Master Baggins, to the company of Thorin Oakenshield.
Give him a pony.
No. That won't be necessary. Thank you. I'm sure I can keep up on foot.
Great. Let's stand, guys. The reason why I like that clip is that there is an adventure. Now, there is. And you got to sign up. And what I'm batting for this morning is this week and the following week is to sign up for the quest. And that is to stay really alert to the moment where you could have a crucial play, a crucial part in the life of another person. And those moments will come towards you. They will happen. Don't get it wrong. Get them right. Join the quest. Become a legend of heaven. Could be with a neighbor, a stranger on the street, a family member, someone in the schoolyard, a work person. Those moments, they do come, don't they? Is that right? And we know it. You know when a moment comes deep down, you know it's arrived. And somehow, you just know that it's a defining moment. You just do. And you just know you've got to be like Bilbo Baggins. You've got to step forward and sign up for that moment. You just know it. Let's be the people of the fellowship, of the King. Let's get these moments right. Amen? Let's pray. God, as we leave this building, we are being sent out as little people on a big, big quest. Jesus, in your grace, may we become legends in heaven and on earth. In your grace, Lord, grant us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to discern when a moment with someone else is crucial, that they might fly as a human being, even though we may never be remembered. Help us to be little people, Lord, in the big story. And we pray this in your wonderful name. Amen.